for all of you and thankful for you. And so if you're a guest, we want to say a special welcome to you. Thank you so much for joining us today, whether in person or online. We'd love to connect with you. We can do that in the card that's in front of you or on our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says I'm new. And so love to connect with you, know who's worshiping with us today. And so grateful. Want to make you aware of a few things happening. First of all, we're having our, I'm hosting this pastor's fellowship this Tuesday. And so if you're interested in giving or donating a gift or something, just to be a blessing to these folks as they come in, and we host them on Tuesday. If you want to be a part of that or have any questions, you can talk to me after service and I'd answer any questions that we can. There are a few Memphis mission trip, Arba mission trips, mission trip opportunities that are coming up this summer. Sign-up sheets are out in the foyer, and you can sign up for those things, and we'll be getting some more information out as needed on those. And then finally, next Sunday evening is our regular quarterly business meeting. And so that'll happen at 5 o'clock here in the sanctuary. And so I hope that you'll make plans to be a part of that and come and see what the Lord's doing in and through Second Baptist. And we handle some of the business items that we need to just to be a part of and just continue to function as our church family and serve the kingdom any way that we can. And so just take note of any of those things there in the bulletin. One thing I don't think is listed there, but on May 28th, I believe that's the last Wednesday of the month. That'll be our final Wednesday night for the year. The kids are out of school finally the next week after that. And so anyway, that May 28th, we'll plan to have a time of celebration and year end, and really grateful for all the volunteers that have made those things possible. So just take note and be aware of that. Well, just a few moments, we're gonna pray and sing, and just Psalms are so full of just praise and worship of the Lord. And just this morning, reading Psalm 106, praise the Lord, oh give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Doesn't it sometimes feel like just saying the Lord is good, it just feels like an understatement? It's true, and in some ways it feels so understated, but the simple truth is that the Lord is good. And He is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our adoration this morning. And so, obviously, I don't know. I know we come in on Sunday, and there's a lot of things that have transpired from week to week and day to day. And sometimes come in, and it's just a heavy morning. And some days they come in and excited about the day. But I just want to take a moment and say, man, God is worthy of our praise and worship this morning. So here in a few minutes, we're going to pray and ask the Lord to remove some of those things, help us to focus, help us fix our eyes and attention on Him, and then worship Him today as a church family, okay? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, You are gracious and kind and merciful, and we thank You for today. We thank You for how You love and care for us. And so, God, I praise You and thank You for all that You are and all that You do. And God, we agree with the psalmist that You are good. And You're holy and righteous, and there is none like You. And so, Lord, I pray as we sing today, God, that would be forever resonate in our mind this morning, that You're good and there's none like You, and You're holy and You're righteous. And so, God, help us to worship You both in spirit and in truth. I pray You, Spirit of God, would make Yourself known among us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would y'all stand as we lift our voices together? Sing in Christ alone.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace. when fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. In the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and send my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise.
Take my heart.
Take my heart. It is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. It shall be thy royal
seat. Before we sing our next song, I just want to read a few verses of scripture. It's found in John chapter 15. These are the words of Christ. Starting in verse 1, it says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser.
every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Here it is in verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So we sing this next song together. Let's keep these words in mind, these verses in mind, and remember that apart from God, apart from Christ, and abiding in him, we truly can do nothing. Even though we may feel like we've got it all together, it is truly all through him.
For my waking breath, for my daily bread, I depend on you. I depend on you for the sun to rise, for my sleep at night. I depend on you. I depend on you. You're the way, the truth, and the life. You're the well that never runs dry. I'm the branch and you are the vine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. Where the Spirit leads, as I'm following, I depend on you. I depend on you for the victories still in front of me. Depend on you. Yes, I depend on you. You're the way, the truth, and the life. You're the well that never runs dry. I'm the branch and you are the vine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. Be my strength, my song in the night. Be my all, my treasure, my prize. I am yours forever, you're mine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. When I pass through death, as I enter rest, I depend on you. I depend on you for eternal life, to be raised with Christ. I depend on you. Yes, I truth and life. You're the well that never runs dry. I'm the branch and you are the vine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. Be my strength, my song in the night. Be my all, my treasure, my prize. I am yours forever, you're mine. And teach me to abide.
Oh Lord, may we abide in you. God, I pray that we are daily abiding in you. God, that that is where we find our truth, where we find our hope, our peace. Not in the things of this world, Lord, but in you and you alone. God, for you are the way, the truth, the life. God, so many other truths that we find in Scripture. Lord, I'm so thankful. God, continue to be with us as we hear from your word. God, I pray for Pastor Chris as he comes and God shares what you've laid on his heart. God, give him the words to say. Let it be your words and not his, God, that you would move in this place. Above all, Lord, I thank you for Jesus. It's in his name. Amen.
Well, amen. If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, would you turn to the book of Proverbs? Proverbs chapter 31. I've realized that a day like today, a Mother's Day, brings a lot of complexity. First of all, we want to celebrate the mamas in our lives and super grateful for those of you that have selflessly invested in your children and your family. Very grateful for that. At the same time, there lies this tension, right? Because we live in a world of brokenness, and with that brokenness comes a lot of heartache and pain. Heartache because there are empty seats around the supper table. Heartache because of maybe poor decisions or abandonment, all sorts of things. Hard and difficult because of infertility and the struggle to have children. That at the same time we recognize that there are certain cases and instances where God has called individual and called women to solitude and a life of singleness. So there's a lot of difficulty and tension oftentimes on a day like this. And so keenly aware of that. And I want to, in some ways, in many ways, tread carefully, not as to offend or to make the day any more difficult than it needs to be. Because I too have, in a different way, experienced early loss and know the difficulty of that sort of thing. Yet at the same time, want to celebrate those that God has placed in our life to invest in us, to raise us, and some that are still raising us. My wife likes to tell people she's raising four and not just three, and so I resemble that remark. Anyway, grateful for those that have done that. At the same time, I texted a few individuals today already, Happy Mother's Day, of those that were not my mother, but at times were surrogate mothers because of just life growing up and medical emergencies and different things of having gone to live with some of them for a few weeks and different times in my life just because things going on in family life and so on and so forth. And so all of that to say that motherhood looks very broad, very differently, because many of you have invested in your own children, and many of you have invested in those that maybe were not your children by blood, or maybe even by marriage, just by proximity and opportunity and season of life. And so, just there's a lot that goes into that. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to preach this message that I've titled Foundational Women And I believe that it can help us when we look at Proverbs 31. And I know in some ways it's a little bit predictable on Mother's Day to go Proverbs 31, right? But at the same time, as looking back, I don't believe I've ever preached a message on Proverbs 31, probably because I'm not qualified, right? But nonetheless, I do think there's some biblical truth here that I think will land and sit well and resonate with those of you that are mothers, and whether early in your motherhood or later in your motherhood, whatever the case may be, I think it'll resonate. I think it'll also resonate for those of you that are wives and maybe not yet have children, or maybe the Lord, however, has just in His providence has just not brought that about, at least through by blood, and you invest in others. I think it'll sit and resonate with those individuals as well, although as well as young ladies looking to what God may be calling you to, what God may have ahead of you in this life. And I know as we look at this, sometimes it's hard because we're going to talk about the godliness of a wife and a mother and a woman's design and placed in God's design. And sometimes it's difficult. We look and go, well, I didn't have that, or man, I'm missing that. I may be even missing it right now. And I would just, as a reminder, these things sometimes it's hard because it's reminders that we do live in a sin-sick, fallen world, and there's a lot of brokenness around us. And what's difficult is when things get painful and the pain threshold starts to reach the capacity that we just start to push away. I think oftentimes what we need to lean into what the Bible says, as painful as it might be, and say, what does the Scripture teach? And that we may set, or we may plow new ground by the grace of God, even for generations to come. And so, with that, I think it will help us. And then furthermore, for us men, let us not tune out for the day, right? One, I think it will help us be appreciative of those that have invested in us and have done so much for us. Secondly, not just maybe through a biological mother, again, because that could be void or absent, or for our wife, but just for those, again, maybe you had some like me, that just in seasons of life have come alongside, and even in church life, this has happened, that there have been some sweet, godly ladies that have come alongside and helped to mother me at times and speak wisdom into my life. Anyway, let's look together at foundational women. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 31. We're going to begin in verse 10 and read to the end. So find your place. Will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profit she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands and the distaff in her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your grace and mercy. And God, I pray this morning that, God, you would be glorified. I pray you would give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. Fill me with your Spirit. Hide me behind your cross. I pray for those that don't know you, God, would you save them? God, I pray for the discouraged this morning. God, would you strengthen and encourage them and draw them to yourself? Embrace them in closely. God, I pray for the saints of God that they would be renewed and excited about who you are and what you're doing. Lord, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for all things. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, I want to preach this message, Foundational Women, and the main idea of the text is this, if you want to take notes this morning, is God uses women as a key foundational piece for the home and beyond. God uses women as a key foundational piece for the home and beyond. And again, I've already referenced this morning, I realize this morning in some ways I'm going to make some broad statements and some broad assumptions in some ways, and I realize there are certain individuals that are called to or God has designed a slightly different path than what we might describe as a traditional model or whatever it may be. The question then of the text is this, is how have the women in your life shaped you? How have the women in your life shaped you? And just thinking about as we walk through this text, no matter what your position or matter what your call is or what's going on in your heart and in your life, as we walk through this text, I want you to think about those individuals that have tried to do this in your life where you say, I didn't necessarily have that, then how can you make plans? How can you implement some of these biblical principles into your life to influence those around you, whether you still have children or children in a home, maybe not. How can these principles influence your life? So there are five of them, and we're going to try to trod through those fairly quickly. But number one, foundational women are part of the team. Foundational women are part of the team. As we look through this psalm, this Proverbs 31 becoming very, very familiar, a staple in much of women's ministry and Bible studies and so on and so forth, there's a lot of truth to be gleaned. And certainly in no way are we going to be able to mine the depth of the riches that are here. But I want to see some of these things. And I want you to see first, as these foundational women, as we look at this, that the Proverbs, the writer here, is trying to make a point that they're a part of a team. So notice verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. And so first of all, he starts out by saying, hey, listen, he's going to set the tone in the individual that he is describing. That this woman that is going on to talk about and discuss is of value, is virtuous, is there's no, she's invaluable, meaning that, man, she's so worth so much. And so anyway, so notice verse 11. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. And so notice this tying together, this quickly, a virtuous wife, but then this tying together of this team idea, that she's a part of the team, if you will, okay? And then notice verse 12. She does him good, talking about her husband, does him good and not evil. And all the men said, amen. Guys, I'm trying to help you, all right? Mother's Day, you need to get this right, okay? But she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now listen, I've been in marriage conferences and counseling, and I've been around some of you, and some of the, I've heard the comments from wives of going, when he's asleep, they're just looking for that opportunity. But I need you to catch this, okay? She does him good and not evil, all right? So, maybe don't hurt him bad, right? Just wake him up, right? But nonetheless, she's a part of this team, that this team principle, because skip on down to verse 23 and listen to what the text says. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. And so what's the drive here? What's the point or the focus? Well, I think it's a reminder of us. If we look back at Genesis chapter 2, and remember when God created Adam and Eve, and this is what God says when he's getting ready to create Eve. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." And that in God's design, God created everything and it was good. He created Adam and it was good. But then Adam was alone. And so he creates woman. And he creates Adam and Eve, and they come together and they're joined together, and he creates a team. And that is part of God's design. Now, again, I realize I'm making a lot of broad statements this morning, and there's certainly different calls on an individual life. But as we just look at this text and we talk about the vast majority of individuals in God's design, is that the woman is created along with the husband, the man, and come together as a team. That she was created out of the rib bone and not the foot bone to be walked on top of, but rather the rib bone to walk alongside with. That he said, "I'm creating her as a helpmate." And part of foundational women, part of women that have made significant influences in our life, is embracing the role in which is God's design. Now listen, I understand this. I'm treading in deep water this morning because this is countercultural, right? And we live in a day and time where there's all this liberating of women and all of these liberal ideas that are going out. And listen, I'm for women's rights, but here's what I'm telling you, that whenever we start beckoning and bargaining for women's rights that supersedes the role and responsibility in which God has designed, then we're getting off into dangerous territory. Because here's what I believe is the most liberating thing for women or men, for that matter, exists within the design and purposes of God. Like Scripture actually elevates, because here's the idea, is that she, this woman that is talked about in Proverbs 31, that she serves the home, she serves the family, she does things beyond that, but as a part of this ministry, part of what she is doing, it makes her a part of this team, and listen, it elevates her, it does not diminish her, because I think when we follow godly principles and godly idea, that her children will call her blessed, the husband will celebrate her, she will be praised. Why? Because that's why he starts, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies." Your value is found in fulfilling the plan and purpose that God has designed for you. And we don't have to rebel against that. We don't have to try to recreate something. But rather, your value is found in the plan and purposes of God. And as a part of this team, it doesn't diminish the value. It actually elevates you. It celebrates who you are and what's God's plan for our life. As you think about being part of the team, who gets celebrated, the quarterback or the wide receiver? Who gets celebrated, the one who makes the pass in the basketball or one that makes the shot? Like, I realize there are some things that happen, and same, you know, and the illustration falls short on some level, and I realize there are times where individuals that maybe men are more celebrated than they ought to be, and there are times where maybe women are more celebrated than, because it's a team. And furthermore, it's not, God's design is not just a two-person team, it's three. Because God's design is for him to be the center of it. And ultimately in that, I don't have to fight for who I am and my rights and what I deserve, because actually I deserve hell. God's the only one that deserves the praise. And as a wife or as a mother, I don't have to fight for all this, but rather it's God who deserves the honor and the praise. Now, we ought to celebrate one another. Man, today we ought to celebrate. I think it's good for us to have a time and think about those women that God has placed in our lives and have blessed us and encouraged us and raised us, and celebrate that. Yet at the same time, it's a part of the team. It's a part of God's plan and God's desire. So number one, foundational women are part of the team. Number two, foundational women are diligent. They're diligent. And there's a lot of scripture references here, so stay with me if you will. As we look through verses, we're going to skip through some of this passage, but look together at verse 13 and 14. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like a merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. And so we're going to talk about the importance of the home a little bit later in the message. But I think we need to understand something is that, yes, there's been a day and time when many women have been able to be married and have children and be able to stay at home and focus solely on the home, primarily in raising children. And if God allows that, that's part of God's plan and design for you and your family, man, praise the Lord, hallelujah, because I've seen firsthand the work and diligence it takes to take care of the home and to raise children. I am discouraged when I hear somebody ask a young mama or maybe a young wife, hey, what do you do for a living? Well, I don't work, I stay at home. Well, man, I've seen my wife at seasons do that, and I promise you, that's a full-time job, and that's work, that's investing in that. Yet at the same time, I think there are times where seasons, and even our families in this stage, where that's just not possible, or maybe that's not God's plan or God's purpose. God's raised something else. And I don't think that women or wives or mothers ought to feel guilty if God has a different plan and where you are working outside the home. You are doing something to help provide for the home. And again, we'll dig into that because look, it says she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands, and she is like the merchant ship. She brings food from afar. Skip over to verse 16. She considers a field and buys it. And her profits, she plants a vineyard. Verse 17, and she girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She's a trade. She's helping. She's working. She's faithful. She's doing what she can to help provide and care for the family. Now listen, part of God's design and part of God's design for Adam and husbands is to be a provider. That's part of my role and responsibility. Does not mean, though, that Eve didn't come alongside and be a helpmate in that, in seasons and in moments. And the same is true today. There are opportunities where wives are able to, or mothers are able to, come alongside and be a helpmate in that. And sometimes in different seasons, in different situations, maybe it's loss of a husband, or maybe it's separation, or whatever the case may be, there are times where the mother becomes the primary breadwinner, if you will, and provider. And so there's a diligence that he's talking about with these foundational women. Notice verses 21 and 22. She is not afraid of snow for her husband. Why? Because all of her household is clothed with scarlet. She has helped provide and make sure to take care of her family. She makes tapestry for herself, and her clothing is fine linen and purple. And then verse 24. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for merchants. No, I don't think the takeaway here is that you have to be able to sew, okay? I don't think that's the takeaway here. What's the takeaway is that she's faithful, she is diligent. Her hands are steady. She's not idle. She's continuing on. She's pressing on. And there's a diligence that she is going to do all that she can to make sure her home is taken care of. In another place, it says that she is not idle. We'll read that in just a moment. But I want you to see, too, that foundational women are diligent. Number three, foundational women are invested in ministry. They're invested in ministry. Again, notice verses 19 and 20. Look at this. She stretches out her hand to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches in her hands to the needy. She is caring for her children. She is caring for a home. And she is faithful. She's diligent in that. She's a part of the team. But she is not isolated from outreach and from ministry and trying to care for those that are around her. And I realize there's some here this morning that don't yet have children or don't have children or whatever the case may be. Dear friend, you can still invest in those around you. You can still minister to those around you. And that's what he's saying, this virtuous wife, that she is faithful, she's diligent, she's doing what she's called to do. But at the same time, she's invested in those around her and trying to meet those needs. And I realize there's a lot of us that have been blessed by women who are foundational in this way. As a matter of fact, if we were quite honest, I think there's a trend the other direction. At least I'm praying that way. Be honest, there's a lot of churches around the country that are still in existence because of the faithfulness of women. There's a lot of churches that still exist because of a handful of women that were faithful to the church and to children at the church. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm grateful there's little churches and big churches all across our land that are still open and still functioning because of faithfulness of women who were not willing to give up, willing to continue to invest in ministry. Now my hope and prayer is that God's doing a work among men, and it'll be a group of men and women that are continuing on the work and the ministry of the church. But I think what the writer here wants us to see is that foundational women are invested in ministry as well. Do you remember there were some important women in Timothy's life that invested in him? 2 Timothy 1:5. Paul writes this, says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded is in you also." Hey, listen to me, ladies. Maybe you don't have children, or maybe, and whatever the case may be, there's young ladies running around here that need somebody to invest in them. There's young men running around here that need a godly motherly influence, investing in them. I mean, the stories will go untold of the godly mothers and grandmothers that taught Sunday school for year after year after year after year. There's some of you in this room that are faithful to teach in our children's ministry so many years. I mean, many of you investing in my kids, and just even now, and I know there's too many to name, but Pat and Mary Jo serving faithfully in our nursery, and Miss Martha and Miss Deanna so faithful to invest in. I mean, my gracious, how many generations of children have they poured into and loved? And Miss Linda Williams, and again, I realize I'm leaving some out this morning. I know that. I apologize. Miss Linda Burge, investing in toddlers, and there are just so many. And this is what Paul's writing and saying, Lois and Eunice, he said, the faith I saw in them, I see in you. And some of you will never know this side of heaven, the investment that you've had in little boys and little girls. And some of you will never know this side of heaven when you begin to teach, or you begin to invest in, you begin to plug into ministry, how God may use you, even though maybe you never have or never will had a husband. Maybe you never have or never will have children. It doesn't mean that God can't use you. He can, and He wants to, and He will, if you'll let Him. And so number four, foundational women make a home. Listen to what the text says in verse 15. She also rises while it is yet night, provides food for her household, and a portion for her maidservants. And skip on down to 25 through 27. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue in the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household, there's that word again, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. Boy, there is something about a woman's touch in a home. I mean, it's no wonder at times, especially, you know, doing ministry with in college ministry, and every now and then go by a couple college guys' dorm or home, and it's oftentimes gone, well, you can tell a bunch of bachelors live there, right? Because there ain't a thing on the wall unless it's some kind of flag they've taped up. There's nothing, no candle in the house unless it's in a restroom, or there's nothing delicate about it. You go, man, that's a house. That is not a home. But you let a young family purchase a home. The husband's busy. They're all busy unpacking boxes and getting things settled. And the husband tends to be content. Okay, everything's off the truck and most of it's out of the box. We're good. I can find it. But most of the women I've known are not content until the pictures are up and things are set, because it feels like home. Foundational women take it from a house to a home. And I think there's significance in that. There's value in that, because you want it to be a place where your family comes. You want it to be a place where there's rest. You want it to be a place of safety. You want it to be a place of comfort. And that's what he's talking about here. It says that she rises, verse 15, she rises when it's yet night, provides food for her household. It goes from a house to a home and a portion for her maidservant. But then listen to how he describes her. It's not just the physical things inside the home that make it a home, right? And so verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come, that she is strong, she is faithful, she is considerate. Verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and I love this, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Well, I love the play on words there, that it's almost this binding, this sense of binding, but yet there's this kindness and gentleness about these foundational women, this virtuous wife that he's referencing. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. I think this is a strong word for both men and women. That idle feet get you in trouble. The idle hands get you in trouble. I think it's a word that both men and women this morning need to hear, is that there's a responsibility of the husband and fathers, and that's coming soon, right? Father's Day is coming. But I think it's a principle that we all need to realize and understand, is that God has created us to serve in His will, and He's created us to be steady with our hand at the plow. He says that she is not eating of the bread of idleness. Now listen, that does not mean that you can't rest, right? Hopefully you get one day a year, Mother's Day, right? Where the husband takes you out to eat, right? But without all the jesting, there, mamas, I know, I see it. It's hard to find those moments of rest. But you need rest. We need to work faithfully, serve diligently, and then we need to find moments of rest. And I realize I'm as guilty as anyone. I get it. Because as long as your kids are at home, there's always clothes in the laundry. There's always dishes in the sink. Except the husband's on the counter, or there's dishes in the dishwasher. I'm confessing this morning, right? But I realize there's always this weight. And most women don't struggle with idleness, because there's always something to be done. But he calls these foundational women to make it a home, place of comfort, place of strength. Proverbs 14:1 says this, says, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. Build your home. Invest in your home. Make it a safe haven. Make it a place of rest. Make it a place of encouragement. Make it a place of wisdom. A place where God is feared and Jesus is honored. Build a home. And then number five, foundational women are to be honored. Men, wake up, all right? Just fair warning, okay? Here we go. Men, foundational women are to be honored. Notice verses 28 through 31. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And let me just hit pause just for a moment. This is the key in verse 30, right? But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Because here's the deal. The reality is, all the four principles that we've already discussed and talked about, let's be honest, you can't accomplish on your own. Not in your own strength, not in your own goodwill, not in the way that God has designed. You need the power of God. The only way the power of God is on your life is through the fear of God and the growing in the wisdom and nature and knowledge of God. And so the key is, listen to me, ladies, is to fear God and keep Him supreme. He's first. And let me say this in a day and time and generation, and I'll get into meddling here a little bit, all right? But we live in a day and time where this will be easy enough. The husband is not to be worshipped. God and God alone is to be worshipped. But here's what we need to hear in today's culture. The children are not to be worshipped. We live in a day and culture where children are running the household and children are running the culture, and children are placed in a position and place as if they are God. And let me encourage you, families, that ought not be the case. God has given them a mother and father, and God has given them leadership to guide them and direct them. And they don't know what's best for them. They don't know what they really need. They don't know what they need to do. So often I hear young families, man, are you going to do this? Are you going to be a church? Well, it seems little Johnny is making all the decisions, or his sports schedule is making all the decisions. And let me set you free from that, family, is that's not God's design and God's plan. And man, we live in a day and culture where somewhere the children have become the parents, and parents are subject to whatever they want to do or decide. And friend, I'm telling you, that is a recipe for disaster. For a lot of reasons, but let me tell you most importantly, is because one day they're going to grow up and realize they're not really in charge, and they're not going to be able to handle it. Amen? Any of y'all still not in charge? Amen. I know, y'all don't want to admit it, but you know it's right. Fear God. Things we've talked about today, you can't accomplish on your own. But God can do it through you. He can give you the strength and power to do it. But listen to what it says. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Kids, listen to me. If your mama's still alive, even, I'm telling you, she didn't get everything right. Mamas, amen, didn't get everything right. Not because she didn't want to. I realize there's some exceptions. There's a lot of mamas out there living with a lot of guilt, a lot of struggle. But if your mama's still alive and you can, hug her and tell her you love her. Thank her for what she has done. Give her a car, give her a gift, take her to eat, but call her. Love you, Mama. Thank you. If you can, do it. Young and old. Verse 28, her husband also. If you drove separately, go by Walmart or Dollar Store on your way home and get a card and walk through the door and say, Happy Mother's Day, I love you, okay? You may be on borrowed time, but you still got 12 hours and 12 minutes, okay? Don't mess this thing up, all right? I'll try to pray in just a moment. I'll give you extra 2 minutes today, okay? Men, celebrate your wives. Celebrate them. She's the queen of the home. Without her, talk about some bad kids. They may not be bad, they just ain't never gonna match again, right? Or have clean clothes. Celebrate your wives. Many daughters have done well. You excel them all. Mamas and wives and ladies, let me have your eyes just for a moment. Probably hadn't got it all right. But listen to me real carefully. Lord loves you as much today as if you'd have gotten everything right. He loves you. And every person on this planet has a choice. And you can't affect every choice and every outcome. Sure, we're all going to look back, man, I wish I'd have done this different, I'd change this, or whatever it is. But let me tell you something, okay? Listen real carefully. Guilt is not of God. If nothing else, release the guilt of yesterday. Ask God to forgive you. And pray like there's no tomorrow. Fear God and be faithful today as much as you can. There's been a lot wrong. There's a lot of mistakes. We live in a sin-sick, broken world, a fallen world. And I'm grieved. I'm grieved this morning by how many mamas and young ladies carry the weight of guilt and regret in so many things. And I so badly want to see God set you free and have find freedom. There's freedom in Christ. There's freedom in serving Him and knowing Him. I just want you to hear this morning. It said, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, he shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. There may not be anybody to celebrate you the way that you deserve to be celebrated. There may not be anybody to call you, to hug you. I don't know. But just for a moment, for every woman in this room, whether mother-to-be or not mother, or mother or grandmother, but every woman in this room, we want to take just a moment and celebrate you. So men, let's celebrate the women in our lives. God wants to use you. He is using you. He will use you if you let Him. And may we honor the Lord by our faithfulness and keep serving Him. Keep grinding, keep loading the machines and doing all the things. And there will come a day when her works praise her in the gates. Some of those gates may be eternal when we step from this life to the next life. And we see the crowns of righteousness because of your faithfulness. It's worth it. It's worth it. Stay faithful. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you, and we thank you for your grace and mercy. And God, I pray that you would take the inadequacy of my vocabulary and my words, my preaching, and I pray, God, it will have been a source of strength and encouragement for the women in this room. And so, God, I pray that you would be glorified. I pray in the next few moments, God, maybe there's some women in the room that just need to lay some things down. Maybe there's some men in the room that need to lay some things down. God, I pray that we would respond to you. And Lord, you are gracious and kind and merciful, and we thank you for your mercy. God, I pray if there's anybody here who doesn't know you, God, I pray you'd save them today. God, you work. The invitation is this: if God's dealing with some things in your heart and you need to respond to Him, then the invitation's open. Maybe you're just praying about some things that have gone on. Maybe you're praying about things in the future. Man, woman, you know, God just spoke to your heart this morning. Maybe we just need some time before the Lord to lay some things down or give some things to Him. Here in just a minute, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to begin to sing. And as we begin to sing, I'm just going to encourage you to remain in the attitude of prayer. But if God spoke to your heart and you want to come and just spend a few moments praying, you come. Need somebody to pray with you? I'd love to pray with you. Maybe you'd say, Pastor Chris, God's dealing my heart about salvation. I don't know if I'm a Christian. I'm going to invite you to come. Say, Brother Chris, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I need to figure that out. However the Lord spoke to your heart, you come. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. And I pray that we'd respond to you. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be obedient. I pray in Jesus' name. You made an attitude of prayer. If God spoke to your heart, you come now.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Bless me now, my Savior. I come to closest friend from the beginning. until the end. In every season, through every storm, when chaos comes, when oceans roar, you are my anchor, my only hope. I place my trust.
What a prayer. I need thee. Amen. Just thank you so much for being here. Again, happy Mother's Day to you. Going to ask our men to begin to take the offering as we leave today. And just grateful. Again, don't forget there's sign-up sheets for mission trips. And there's opportunity to invest and be a part of the pastor fellowship I'm hosting this Tuesday. And so you can talk to me after service if you want to help, if you're able to help be a part of that. Well, amen. Well, let's stand together and just thank you so much for your faithfulness to give. Paul wrote this to Corinthians, says, not that I desire a gift, but I desire that fruit that may abound to your account. I believe when we're faithful to give and invest in the kingdom, that God, in His graciousness, gives us fruit that abounds to the account and when one day when we step into heaven. And so thank you so much for your faithfulness and generosity. Let me pray for us, and I pray you have a great day. Jesus, you're good, and we love and adore you. Pray you bless the tithes and offerings. Use it for your kingdom and your glory. And we love you and praise you. We thank you for all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.